Got two challenges. My name is Chip Walter. I'm from Duke University in North Carolina. Since my last name begins with a W, my first challenge is I'm the last person of the day, but I'm used to that because my last name begins with a W. Second challenge is to talk fast. I'm from North Carolina, so I'm not so used to that. The title of my project that I'm going to talk a little bit about today is Prevention of Influenza in Infants by Immunization of Their Contacts in the Household. Long title. This is a cocooning project that we were evaluating, and we titled it the Pitch Project. And when I went out to sell it to the hospitals, I kept telling them, the nurses, you'll probably be ready to pitch us out in about 2 months. So. But anyway, they let us in. I do have some disclaimers before I start. I do vaccine research with certain vaccine manufacturers, some of whom make influenza vaccine. I don't think I have CSL listed on here, but CSL, GSK, MedImmune, Novartis, and Sanofi Pasteur all make influenza vaccines, so there may be potential conflict of interest. I also do some speaking in an advisory board. So as background, I think we all know that influenza causes higher rates of morbidity and mortality, particularly among children who are under 6 months of age. We know that Kathy Neusel and others in certain publications have shown that children under 6 months of age have higher rates of hospitalization. And in the 2003 influenza outbreak, that particular year, there were a large number of deaths and disproportionately affecting children under 6 months of age. Yet, we still have no currently approved vaccine for children who are under 6 months of age for influenza. We are working on that. There have been a couple studies looking at giving, that we participated in, giving children down as young as 2 months of age influenza vaccine, but the efficacy of that approach still hasn't been proven yet. So therefore, what's the only strategy for prevention in young children is looking at a cocooning strategy, immunizing household contacts and out-of-home caregivers to reduce the risk of influenza for infants. Despite these recommendations for use of influenza vaccine during pregnancy, which might take care of part of the problem, I think there's some data out there that we all are familiar with showing that only about 13% of pregnant women get influenza vaccine. There was a study presented this morning, some PRAMS data from Rhode Island, which actually showed that those rates were about 30% and as high as 33% in 2007, the year that we did our study. In terms of household contacts, data from the National Health Interview Survey showed vaccination rates of household contacts, not just limited to kids under 5 years of age, when there was a child that age in the household, but any high-risk person in the household. The immunization rate for household contacts was age-dependent, so for young children, the rate was about 26%, and for older individuals in the household, about 17%. So we have a long ways to go to prevent young children from influenza. So how do we better vaccinate household contacts? Our study was, the purpose was to develop and assess a hospital-based program for administering flu vaccine to newborn household contacts during the immediate postpartum period. This study took place in 2007-2008. We assessed flu vaccine coverage among the household contacts delivered at that hospital, and we simultaneously assessed coverage among household contacts of newborns who were delivered at a hospital without an immunization program. You can see here, this is the setting. Kathy will be glad to know, I took hours putting this map on this slide and trying to put the little dots on. But anyway, that's the location is Durham County, North Carolina. This is Durham County right here, if I can get the pointer to work. We had two hospitals about 4 miles apart. Duke Hospital is my home hospital here, which obviously the big Mecca Medical Center, and Durham Regional Hospital, community hospital, which is actually owned by Duke Hospital. They're, again, 4 miles apart. I actually really spend more time at the community hospital here seeing babies in the newborn nursery. We picked Durham Regional to be our intervention hospital where we implemented the immunization program, largely because it was more representative of most community hospitals throughout the country. So what did our program comprise, the vaccination program? We put in a standing order to administer flu vaccine. We worked with the hospital administration to expand the orders that they had in other high-risk patients in the hospital to include postpartum women. We provided educational packets, which the nursing staff left in the rooms to introduce the study and the immunization program. In the packet, we put coupons for a free flu vaccine for household contacts. We also put a VIS statement for a vaccine in there. We used promotional materials looking familiar to most of you from the CDC. We put posters all around the hallways in the hospital. We made buttons for the staff to wear during the vaccination season. We also developed a standing order for the household contacts. We located a vaccine clinic adjacent to the postpartum ward. We held educational sessions with the nursing staff and medical staff. And then we mailed reminders within 4 weeks after delivery. This is our vaccine clinic here for the household contacts. Is our clinic nurse, Diane Wingo. The clinic was located adjacent. We didn't run the clinic all day, every day. We had certain hours posted during the day. And I have a picture of a flu vaccine down here. We took one factor out of the mix. We used preservative-free influenza vaccine just to take that out of the whole, the thimerosal issue out of the whole mix. This is a picture, graciously, of a dad who was getting, he volunteered to have his picture taken, was vaccinated during season. I didn't go in, although we promoted vaccination and bugged the moms for vaccine, I didn't have the nerve to go in and take a picture of a new mom, so we picked a new dad. The primary outcomes we were looking at were influenza vaccine coverage for household contacts of newborns who delivered at both hospitals. We did in the hospital with the program an anonymous survey, which was distributed by the hospital staff with that packet. And in both hospitals, we did face-to-face interviews with the mom and a follow-up telephone interview 6 to 8 weeks postpartum. The survey, as I said, was administered with or distributed with the packet. In the survey, we questioned about the birth month, maternal vaccination status, any contraindication. And then we also got household contact information and also their vaccination status. This was this survey was on a two-part NCR form. The top part stayed identified and served as the vaccine administration record, which went in the chart. The bottom, we blacked out any identifying information, and that contained a code number on it, which was linked to the coupons for the household contact, so we could tell if those particular contacts were getting vaccinated. We also did the face-to-face interviews from Monday to Friday. We randomly select women to be interviewed. We did this with informed consent. And in that interview, we collected demographics, contact information, delivery information, vaccination status, maternal high-risk conditions, and household contact information. We did follow-up telephone interviews 6 to 8 weeks later to see if people got vaccinated in the intervening time after hospital discharge. So these are our results from the hospitals. The hospital with the program had 904 deliveries during the study period, whereas the hospital without our program was a little larger, had 1,332 deliveries. And these are the number of new moms represented there due to multiple births of multiples. We distributed 733 surveys in the hospital with the program, so about 80% of the women plus got a survey. And about 67% of those surveys were actually returned to us. In both hospitals, we approached about 40% of the women being discharged for interview. That actually matched up quite well. And we interviewed between 58 and 65% of the women approached. And then we did follow-up interviews about 80% of the time we were able to reach women by phone. If you look at our hospital with the intervention program, about 30% were African American, 59% were white, very few Hispanics. And when I get to our comparison hospital, you see it's quite different. And if you look at the number of surveys, they were pretty evenly distributed across the months when we were doing the intervention. And here are our results. If you look at our immunization rates, These are in the kind of yellowish bar for the rate that was reported by mom prior to delivery, basically. So, and then the gold bar represents, in addition, those who were immunized in the hospital plus those who got immunized prior to delivery. So you can see that we had about a 30% increase in immunization rates for the moms and the dads, a little bit less so for siblings and other relatives. If you look by month, you can see that by month, we had the largest impact in our uptake, this is after delivery right here, during the first 2 months of the vaccination season. So this is represents our postpartum vaccination, and this is our prenatal vaccination or during pregnancy. And then, so combined, this is across the whole study period. And for dads, again, we had our biggest uptake in the first few months of the study. Now, what did happen in this particular year, I want to point out, this was the year we had a big mismatch, and that came out in the news in about December, January. So that, I think, really did influence what happened after January in terms of our immunization program. And then, in terms of siblings, this is what happened in terms of their immunization rates. So we had a little less, quite a bit less effect in terms of immunization rates for siblings. What is interesting to note is that before delivery, immunization rates, or those reported by the moms, actually increased up to about 50% by the time February rolled around. If you look at what was reported in terms of the immunization rates of household contacts by the mother's immunization status, so if the mom was vaccinated, what she reported the other family members being vaccinated, it was much higher for fathers, siblings, other relatives, and non-relatives if the mother was vaccinated versus if the mother was not vaccinated. So the mother's vaccination status was a good predictor of what she said was going to happen for the other family members. Or what happened for the other family members. Okay, now I'm moving on from our survey basically to our interview data. And this is really just showing you, there's several slides here to show you that our populations for our hospital with the program and without the program were quite different. Our with the program were older, tended to be, without the program, 43% were Hispanic. And we didn't know, we kind of had some clues going into this, but our Hispanic population has dramatically grown in Central North Carolina. So from the time we applied for funding to the time we did this study, this was a dramatic change. Our population differed in terms of race and education status, and pretty much on every demographic factor, marital status, insurance status, noting that a large proportion of women at our hospital with the program had no insurance and care site for prenatal care. Also, if you look at our hospital without a program, a large number of the families had other relatives and other non-relatives living in the household. So if you look here, these data look very similar, the survey to the survey data. So this is data in our intervention hospital with the immunization program, and this is what was reported by the moms by interview. It's very comparable, almost identical to what was reported in the surveys to us. And then if moms did not get vaccinated before delivery, okay, so if they were not vaccinated during the pregnancy, about 45% got vaccinated in the hospital in the postpartum period. About 4% reported being vaccinated in that six-week period following hospital discharge. For dads, about 33% who weren't vaccinated prior got vaccinated in the hospital. About 6% got vaccinated afterwards. About 10% of SIBs got vaccinated in the hospital who hadn't been vaccinated, and about 17% got vaccinated afterwards. Comparing both hospitals, as I said, is a little like comparing apples and oranges. However, we did do some comparisons. We were able to demonstrate some increase in vaccination status for all household contacts in our hospital with the program versus without the program. This was not seen in mothers because we had a very high immunization rate in our moms delivering in our non-intervention hospital. 63% of the moms came in had gotten flu vaccine, is what they reported. Why is that? A large proportion got care in health departments, in our own prenatal clinics, or in a community health center, a federally qualified community health center, which they give flu vaccine, and they're very good at it. So it wasn't exactly a comparable group. Sorry. Fathers, we did see a statistically significant difference in vaccination rates in our intervention program hospital, and siblings. So if you look at, we just looked at predictors of maternal immunization. The older a woman was, the more likely she was to be vaccinated. Hispanics were more likely to be vaccinated, and that was shown in the PRAM study that was presented this morning as well. African Americans were less likely to be vaccinated. Those with no insurance, which represented a large portion of our Hispanic population, were more likely to be vaccinated. And those with private versus Medicaid were more likely to be vaccinated. Higher education, especially post-college, and our program, because this was the mothers, didn't really show any effect. However, when we did put it into a multivariable analysis, and my statistician cringes, because all these variables were so highly related, she says it's just very hard to explain a multivariable model. But these were the factors that came out as being statistically significant. Higher age of the mom, insurance, those with no insurance. Education was a factor as well. If you had postgraduate education, and the hospital program did come out in this model to be statistically significant. So in conclusion, a hospital-based vaccination program is a feasible way to improve vaccine coverage, reported immunization rates of new moms and fathers, importantly fathers because they're the hard population to capture, increased by nearly 30%. Improvement was notable but less remarkable among other household contacts, and the largest increases were noted in the first few months of our program. In addition to hospital site, advanced maternal age, education, and health insurance status were all predictors of maternal immunization status. I'd like to also acknowledge my co-investigators at Duke, Norma Allred at the CDC. She's our project officer. Our study staff at Duke and Durham Regional Hospitals, and the nursing staff as well, and the parents and household contacts as well. I think that's it.
Yeah, we'll take one or two.